says over in Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Suddenly, something happened. I mean, suddenly, it was like nothing, and then all of a sudden, something. You know, it says over in the Old Testament, it says that suddenly God will come to his throne. Suddenly, this whole thing's going to be over. Listen, we're living life here. Some people, you say, how you doing? Oh, I'm living my best life. Well, you're not going to heaven then, are you? Yeah, something's wrong if you're just now, right now, this is it. In fact, Paul said this. He said, if we have life in Christ in this world only, we're of all men most miserable. Yeah, you know, Becky and I, before we started the church, we went over to First Assembly back then. It's Shreveport Community now. And Brother Duron, he say it all, you hear him all the time, the best is yet to come. Amen. He said it over and over and over, the best is yet to come. Well, it is. Amen. Amen. I mean, just good news for you right now. Suddenly, the Lord is going to come into the temple. I mean, it's going to happen. Suddenly, things are going to change dramatically. Suddenly, God's going to move in a mighty way. Paul and Barnabas were in prison, bound up, just doing gospel work, and got bound up, got tied up. But the Bible says suddenly, there was an earthquake. Suddenly, their chains fell off. God still got lots of those working, suddenlies. So don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Don't ever feel like, well, I don't know. I don't know the future, and it just looks bleak. Hey, listen, things can happen in a moment. Amen. In a moment. Amen. Of time. God can do something totally different than what you ever thought. Suddenly. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, a couple things real quick. Stretch out your hands and let's pray over the folks over in the other building. They're having this freedom class over there. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the mighty working of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray the eyes of every person in that building, their understanding comes clear to them, Father, and they know and understand the hope of your glory. Lord, thank you for working mightily by your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Praise God. I also want to, if you would, just pray for Becky and, well, pray for her mother too. She's having a little thing with her mother tonight, and she's 99. And so she says all the time, I don't know why I'm still here. I don't know why the Lord hadn't taken me yet. And I always say, I don't know either. Paul said it was far better. That's right. Amen. I say I lost. I didn't lose him. I know where he is. A good friend of mine, pastor in California, Jim Cobray, went home to be with the Lord a couple of days ago. And we were good friends. And his wife said that she went to wake him up and he was laying there. You know, and he passed away, and he was laying there with a smile on his face. He must have seen something before he left, right? Put a smile on his face. Amen, amen. Can't weep over that. Said you can't weep over that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We need to live lives here. We need to live them for Jesus. Live in fullness. But no, there's far better. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we've been talking about being a believer. I'm a believer. Amen. And it says in 1 John 5, 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's a little bit loud up here with me, so I don't know what that is, but Is it loud out there? Okay, just me. Maybe it's the monitors. I don't know. All right, I'm going to have to start over. I had a friend who just passed away. Oh, I already told you all that, right? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory, the word there means of success, that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. We overcome the world by our faith. It's our means of success on this earth, dealing with and living in this world. Amen. Because we're born of God and we're not left to our own. Isn't that good news? We're not left to our own. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us and will respond to us, but He's set this thing up to respond to faith. Amen? Set it up to respond to faith. So let me read you a couple of scriptures, then I want to talk to you about something specific tonight. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 says this. Jesus said this. He said, "For assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea," now listen to this, "and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Amen. So where does that start? In your heart. Right? Isn't that what it says? All right, well, listen to Romans chapter 10, verse 8, starting with verse 8. Listen to this. "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if we confess, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus," now listen, "and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And here's why. This is the principle. You ready? "For with the heart one believes." Listen to me. With the heart one believes. You've got to have a heart faith. With the heart one believes. "And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." That word salvation there is the Greek word sozo. It means healed, delivered, restored, whatever you need. But it starts in your heart, with your heart. With the heart, man believes. Everybody still with me? So I want to talk to you a little bit about that today, tonight. Because if your heart's not in the right place, you're not going to have any faith. You can even say the right words, but if the words don't match your heart, it doesn't work. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Listen to what it says. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." You go back to Romans. What did they say? The word is near you. Well, where is it? In your heart. Okay. Now listen. "Do not let them depart from your eyes," the word. "Keep them in the midst of your heart." Now listen to this. "For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." If you ever get a revelation of this, you don't need anybody praying for you for healing. Amen. Because it says right here that it'll be health to your flesh. That's good medicine. God's word is good medicine. Everybody still with me? I like the New Living Translation. It says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. It determines the course of your life. Well, I want to do this. I want to do that. Well, wait a minute. What's in your heart? Amen. So I found out that if I put God's word in my heart, then he will direct my life. Well, Lord, you just direct my life. I'm going to live like I want to, and whatever happens, happens. Well, that isn't God. And God's not doing that. Even if you run over a blessing every once in a while, you can give God credit, but God probably didn't do it. Unless you're allowing him to guide your life. Well, how do you do that? Well, you've got to put the word of God in your mouth, yes, but in your heart, and guard your heart, because that's what determines the course of your life. Now, that's with God. You can live any way you want to. How do you know? Because I did. Wandered from pillar to post, so to speak. But man, once you start listening to your heart, guided by the Holy Spirit, it's a whole different ballgame. Amen. There is a skilled effort by the enemy to change how we live our gospel life. And I want you to listen to me tonight. Okay, listen to what I'm saying. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and I just read this, but when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven a sound as a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now listen to this. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one set upon each of them. Now listen to the next verse. Listen to what it says. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Glory to God. I mean, something radically changed in the world. That day of Pentecost was a radical change in the world system. Totally changed everything. So the people came around and they heard him speaking, and you know, I hear people talk about this a lot, you know, that they were speaking in all these different languages and that's where they heard them, but I don't believe that's what happened at all. I don't believe all of a sudden they were speaking in other languages. Because listen to what it says. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it talks about all the people that were dwelling there from all the nations under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together. They were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Listen to what it said. Everyone heard them speak in their language. That listen to me. That would be like if I spoke Italian and everyone in here stood up and started speaking in tongues and I heard Italian. It wasn't like Sam spoke Italian to me and Reg spoke German to somebody else and Paul spoke some other language. Country. I heard what he said about me Wednesday night, by the way. I was riding in the car from one appointment to another. I heard what he said. Amen. So I really believe that they were all speaking in tongues, and God, and literally the people heard them in their own language. How else could you speak to all those people? Okay. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, you don't have to agree with it. But it says they were all amazed, saying to one another, aren't all these Galileans, and how is it we hear each in our own language in which we're born? And it lists all of them. Just hang with me here. And so they were amazed and perplexed. And verse 13 says, others were mocking, said, oh, they're full of new wine. They're drunk. So Peter, now verse 14, listen to this. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. And he goes on to say, for they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. So what did Peter do? He got up and started preaching. Okay? Started preaching. And these people are mocking. And so he literally, first of all, told them what was happening out of Joel. Okay? Then in verse 23, it says, he started talking about Jesus more than this, but I'm just picking a portion of this. It says, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. So he was preaching. Preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. All right, so now notice this. Listen to verse 37. When they heard, now listen, they were cut to the heart. And they said, what do we do? This is really important. They were cut to the heart. Before Jesus, that didn't happen. Men's hearts were hard, and there was no way to get in. You think about Jesus and the Pharisees. He couldn't get in. Even Jesus couldn't get in. But when the Holy Spirit came, everything changed. And all of a sudden, the gospel message didn't just go into ears, it went into the heart. Don't you ever think that anybody you talk to Jesus about, don't ever think that it's lost. It's not. It'll go into the heart. Now, they have a choice to make, but it'll go there. I mean, I had that happen to me many times. I just learned how to resist it till I couldn't do it anymore. So they were pricked in their hearts. The Moffat translation says it went straight to their hearts. Same people that were mocking, same people were talking about them being drunk and that they were, that literally Galileans were country people. The Holy Spirit penetrated their hearts. Same thing happened when Stephen got up and preached to the Pharisees. It said that it pricked their hearts, but they resisted it. In fact, he said to them, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wants to get in there. He wants to go to work. Why? Because everything operates through the heart. The Williams translation said they were stabbed in the heart. They were stabbed in the heart. So let's look at this from a covenant perspective, okay? Jeremiah 31, 33. Jeremiah prophesied about a new covenant, the one you and I live under, okay? The one that the blood of Jesus provided. It says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel and us. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write it on their hearts. Yeah. Write it on their hearts. That's the total concept of the way God operates with a New Testament, New Covenant believer. He works in the heart, not in the head, not in your circumstances. He doesn't teach us by circumstances. Doesn't mean you can't learn something from your circumstances. Doesn't mean God won't tell you, well, you were an idiot. You shouldn't have done that. How do you know he does that? Because he's told me that. At least that was my interpretation of it. But the new covenant works in the heart. Years and years ago, I was listening to a cassette tape, so you know how long ago that was. And this preacher, and he was talking about the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, and about God working in our hearts. And he said it this way. He said, what if you have a child, and that child keeps their room a mess? I had three of those. You know why they did? Because Becky made up the beds. Becky cleaned up for them. She did all that for them. But we had one who was seriously bad at it, okay? But just imagine, anybody in here have anybody, kids like that? Yeah, okay. Okay, so listen. So first thing you're going to do is say, if you don't clean up your room, I'm going to do this, this, and this. And they may respond to that because they want this, this, and this. If you don't clean your room up, I'm going to beat you. They may do it, but they're not going to do it because they want to. And the first time they feel an unction, they'll quit doing it. But what if you could take your heart and put it in their heart about how nice it is to have a clean room? You would never have to tell them again. Why? Because it'd be in their heart. That's what God's done with the new covenant. He puts it in our heart. He puts it in our heart. He's not going by the outside. He's going by the inside. And you say, well, I thought you were going to preach on faith. I am. God puts his desires in our heart by the Holy Spirit. And then you respond from there. Mark 4:15 says this. Listen to this. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word. Now notice this. That was sown where? It went in their heart. Well, I don't think they even heard me. They just ignored me. They may have didn't ignored you, but that doesn't mean they didn't hear you. That word goes into the heart. Amen. I'll show you later, but it goes into the heart. Satan wants to steal the word out of your heart. He wants you to lose confidence in being led by your heart instead of your head. Well, I know that was right, but it didn't seem right, so I did this. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've heard that. I knew I wasn't supposed to do that, but I know what's coming next, and now you're wanting me to fix it. Tell me what I do now, Pastor. I screwed up. And listen, there is not one person in this building who has not done that. Including me, I mean, many times. And the older you get in the Lord and the more you walk with him, the more you guard your heart because you don't want to do that. Why? It's miserable if you're really sincere for God. Amen. He wants you to lose confidence in being led by your heart. He wants you to go by your senses, what you see, what you feel, what you think. Because then he can dominate you. He can control you. He can work in your life. So we need to get to know and have confidence in God speaking in our hearts. 1 Peter 3:4 called it the hidden man of the heart in the King James. The hidden man of the heart. Whatever's in your heart, it's going to come out. You can hide it for a while, but eventually it will come out. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. Romans 7:22 says this, listen, for I delight in the law of God according to the inner man. Not my head, not my fear of some retribution, not my fear of mistakes, in the inner man. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. It's just a matter of time. It'll come out. That's because they didn't have very many mirrors. You could just use the same term, mirror. So we want to live in a place where we go by our heart. Because the heart, it reflects the real you. So now listen to this scripture in Luke chapter 21, verse 26. Jesus is talking about the last days. Listen to what he said. Men's hearts failing them. Men's hearts failing them. Now you say, well, they're having heart attacks. I believe it's greater than that. Men's hearts are failing them because of what's in their heart. Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You've got to get your heart right. Get it in line with God, with the motives of God, the things of God, the Word of God. Because everything's going to be shaken that can be shaken, it says in Hebrews. Well, we're going to be gone. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I preached a message years ago called A Whole Lot of Shaking Going On. You know why? Because it is. It's going to happen. Everybody's complaining about it, how things are right now in our country and stuff. You can still go to the grocery store and buy groceries. I've been in countries when you go into the grocery store, there's nothing on the shelves. I'm not trying to scare you. But if that scares you, maybe something's not quite right with your heart. Well, what would I do? What would I do? You know what? Bless your heart, you'd have to trust God. You'd have to believe God. And I'm not trying to mock you tonight. I'm just trying to get you stirred up to understand some things that we've got to get to. It says men's hearts are going to fail them. Spiritually, there'll be people who will not have strength to survive the emotional strain. Well, where can I go to hide from that? Well, it says they went in the rocks and begged God for the rocks to fall on them. You can't run from it. Years ago, I was in Mexico preaching and in Veracruz, and we were at the pastor's house, and we were, you know, talking and visiting, you know, in the afternoon. All of a sudden, that house started moving like this, and the ground started moving. So everybody ran outside because you didn't want to be inside. So everybody went outside, and, well, the ground's moving outside. So you know what I did? I jumped up on a picnic table thinking that would help. It didn't. You got to know how to deal with what's coming on the earth. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, I'm sorry, you're here. The door's locked. So listen to this, okay? I need to get to this. Under the new covenant, we can't let our heart dominate everything about our senses. We can say, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to operate that way. No, I'm not going to believe that way. No, I'm not expecting that. You can literally, your heart can rise up in you, and you can look at the most profound, difficult situation and smile and say, no, I don't believe that, and that's not the way I operate. Amen. And that's not the way God operates. Yeah. You can do that as a believer. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart, man believes. So if you're going to have faith, your heart's got to be right. It's got to be full of something. Amen. Why is that? Because Jesus said that the kingdom of God is not something you're going to be able to see. The kingdom of God is in you. I think that's Luke 17:21. I think that's right. The kingdom of God's in you. So what God wants to do, no matter where you are in your life, is on the inside of you. All right, so now let's read a scripture here in Luke chapter 34, verse 36. I'm going to read this out of the Living Bible. It says, your eyes light up your inward being. A pure eye lets sunshine into the soul. A lustful eye shuts out light and plunges you into darkness. So watch out that the sunshine isn't blotted out. If you are filled with light within, with no dark corners, then your face will even radiate like a floodlight beaming on you. What's it saying? Can I read you another? Let me read you the Passion. Listen to this. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in. When your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. Open your heart and consider my words. Watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. Ooh, I like that. If your spirit burns with light, fully illuminated with no trace of darkness, you'll be a shining light, reflecting rays of truth by the way you live. So listen, here's the point, okay? Your eyes are the gateway to your heart. Predominantly. Your eyes are the gateway to your heart. Now, let me make a statement to you. How many of you already had communion at your home? Raise your hand. Okay. You can verify this. Every home I've been in so far has one thing in common. Now, this is not spiritual, but you'll get it. You know what it is? A television. A television. Every home. Are you saying they're bad? No, I've got four or five in my house. No, I'm not saying they're bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that what's on there is bad. If you let your eyes and you spend all your time looking at something that's communicating to you something contrary to the gospel, contrary to the word of God. You are mistaken if you think you can keep a pure heart, a sound heart, a heart full of faith, if all you do is look at something hours and hours and hours in your home that's contrary to what you believe. Listen to me. I'm just telling you, I'm not saying all television is bad. That's not what I'm trying to. My point are you watching stuff that's affecting your heart? It doesn't bother me. You're lying. No, you're not lying. You just don't know. You're ignorant. That's worse. The Bible says those that are ignorant, let them be ignorant still. Don't be that way. I've told this story before, but I had a friend, a ministry friend. Really, when we first started this church, they blessed our church, and we were friends. And I'll never forget, we were doing a meeting together in a conference in California. And somebody else was speaking, and we were standing out in the lobby area there. And we were just talking. And he started talking about this movie he'd seen. And, you know, talking about all about it, and I'm thinking about it. I think that's a R-rated movie. And I asked him, I said, hey, man, isn't that an R-rated movie? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I watch that stuff all the time. I just let that stuff roll right off my back. Well, the bottom line is it didn't roll off his back because he ended up committing adultery. It gets in your heart. Your eyes, listen to me, your eye gates, what you're watching, what you're seeing, it's getting into your heart. And if it's getting into your heart, it's bringing darkness into your heart. And if there's not light there, there's no faith working. That's why you have to guard your heart. You guard it by what you look at, by what you listen to. If all you do is listen to gossip and listen to foul stuff all the time, and look at stuff like that all the time, listen to, and you want faith? I don't think so. It doesn't work that way. No, you can't have both. I know somebody was thinking that right now. You can't have both. It used to bother me. Listen, I'm just talking as a pastor tonight, but it used to bother me because people would come to me and asked me to pray about something, and man, I'd get my faith there and I'd pray with them and pray with them, and nothing ever happened. Come to find out, they're living in darkness. There's no faith in their life, and they're wondering why nothing's working because they're wanting me to do it. It doesn't work that way, folks. The best thing you can do is set yourself in agreement with somebody, but even then, a lot of times that, I mean, I had a lady one time, I need prayer, I got this problem, I need prayer, will you agree with me? And I said, yeah, and we decided what we were going to agree about, we prayed together, I agreed with her, and I saw her a couple of weeks later, and said, well, what's going on with what we prayed about? Oh, I forgot about that a week ago. I'm still praying about it, I'm still believing. You have to pay attention to your heart. You can't play games in the season we're in and where we're going. It says, with the heart, man believes. And you've got to protect your heart against darkness, which produces unbelief. Did you ever notice Jesus would forgive somebody and or heal them? And you know what he would say next? Don't do that anymore. Go and sin no more. Don't do that anymore. It's important that we understand. I like what is it? Faith, it says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. I mean, your phone has access to the word in so many ways, so many podcasts, so many different things. But people want to hear podcasts about people's opinions. Let me tell you something. That's just going to sow darkness in your life. And I'm not being critical of preachers, but you better have a witness in your spirit that what you're listening to is of God. Because everything that's preached isn't God. And I would trust you to have that same witness listening to me tonight. I would expect that. The Passion Translation says this, faith then is birthed in a heart. Ooh, I like that. It's birth in your heart. So incline your ear. Don't let your eyes depart. If you do that, then God can do something great. Listen to Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Listen to what Jesus said. Pretty strong stuff here. He called, how would you like to be in a meeting where Jesus called you a brood of vipers? You bunch of snakes. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It can be hidden, but eventually it's going to come out. It's going to come out. And listen to me, those of you that are getting a little older, listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying, because I've watched this. You can't control that tongue like you used to, and what's in your heart's going to come out, and people are going to be shocked because you've been hiding it. Nobody in this building, but somebody watching online. So you have to be careful. The New Living Translation says this: whatever is in your heart determines what you say. It should, if you're a person of faith. If you want to know whether somebody's a person of faith, just listen to them talk for a while. You'll find out. Amen. Now, I'll close with this real quick. Years ago, and I've told this story before, but years ago, Becky and I lived in a townhouse, and church was just starting, and we were in this big curve. I mean, it was a really big, sharp curve in the road. And one night about midnight, we heard this awful crash. And I knew when I heard it that somebody had missed that curve. So I got up, put my clothes on, ran out there, and you could see the steam coming out of the car, and I heard somebody moaning in the car, and I was concerned it was going to catch on fire. And so I opened the door, and there was a girl in there, and her leg was broken really bad, obviously broken, you know. So I pulled her out of the car. And I laid her down, you know, out of the way, and Becky had called 911, and so they got there pretty quick. But while she was there, I was just praying for her, just praying over. But here's the thing, okay? The way I found her was this. When I came out my door to go across the street, all I heard was one curse word after another. I mean, she was ripping it. Just cursing. I mean, it was the dead of night, and I mean, it was going everywhere. So when I pulled her out of the car, you know, she calmed down, and then they came and picked her up and took her to the hospital. So I don't remember if it was the next day or the next day, I went up to see her, found out where she was, and went up to the hospital to see her. And I walked in, I said, hey, I just want you to know, I'm Pastor Sam Carr, and I was the one that, you know, was there when you had the wreck, and I'm glad, you know, you're alive, and they put her leg put it in one of those big sling things. And she said, oh, Pastor, I'm so glad you were there to pray for me. I just love God, and I tell you, went on and on about it. I go to church every Sunday and all, just on and on and on. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, right. Because I know what's in your heart, sweetie. And I actually talked to her like a sinner. Even though she was telling me all that, and I was telling her, Jesus died for your sins. You know, he'll forgive you. Oh, I'm a Christian. I was baptized. So I said, well, can I pray for you? And I laid my hands on her, prayed for her, and left. It'll come out. It'll come out. Best example I know of that is my wife. When they had that wreck back in 2000. I didn't have any trouble finding her. The moment I pulled up to the barricades and started running toward them, I could hear her, Jesus! Jesus! She was shouting his name and speaking the word. What's in you is going to come out. So the important thing is, listen, don't be under condemnation about where you are. Change your future by what you put in your heart. Put the Word of God in your heart. I mean, listen, tonight you're getting something. I believe you're getting something in your heart. But God wants to do supernatural things. He wants to work in your life and wants to use you. But you got to pay attention to your heart. For with the heart, man believes. With the heart, man believes. You get it in your heart, you can handle it. Because, listen, you're going to say what's in your heart. Amen. You can say, you're going to say. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You can hear your own self. I've talked to myself lots of times. I've spoke the word over myself. I needed to hear faith, and there wasn't anybody around, so I just spoke to myself. Amen. But if you do that, you're going to find out that your life will go a lot better for you.